Council, and this is Kurt Fisher.
Kurt, welcome. Have a seat.
Thank you very much.
We'll go around and introduce ourselves and say where we're from, and then we'll ask you to make an opening comment, and then have about 30 to 35 minutes of questions and closing comment. And 45 minutes.
Sounds great.
Okay. Let's start this side this time, because she just got a drink of water.
I'm Sally Olson, and I'm staff at UJC, and I'm converted.
John Doran, Mankato.
Janet Lex in Lakeville.
Tim Hemshaw, Naperville.
Yvonne Comdale, Moorhead.
Dave Larkin, Bemidji.
Carolyn Williams, St. Cloud.
Kent Declan, St. Paul.
Earl Rasmussen, Glenn.
Zainab Hassan, New Brighton.
I'm Sonia Honato from Moorhead.
Marilyn Cathcart, Minneapolis.
Nancy Black, Minneapolis.
Carl Crimmins from Tampa.
Great. Thank you very much. I'm glad that you all have your name tags.
Right. So are we.
Okay. Well, my name is Kurt Fisher. I'm from Mankato, District 1. I'm pleased to be here, and I appreciate the council for taking the time to interview me. I would like to share a bit of things about myself with you. Let me say in starting that I was, I've been encouraged by friends and a number of others to apply for the Board of Trustee position. And wasn't sure about it in the beginning, but having researched and reviewed, I'm excited about it. I think that there are things in my background that will be helpful and help the board and Minscu with its many challenges that it's facing to meet its goals and important objectives. Let me start by sharing a few personal things. I graduated from Robbinsdale High School in 1966, which is kind of a long time ago, I guess, but it doesn't seem like that long. I packed my bags, left my home on France Avenue, and went down to Mankato State College. 1966. While attending the Mankato State, I really enjoyed my classes with economics and business and statistics and instructors, and it really kind of accelerated my interest, not even having a clue what I might do or be in life, like most young people. But the college brought me forward in a lot of ways that I reflect on now as an important part of my life. I met my wife, Debbie, of 41 years now, I guess, and we enjoy a relationship with our three adult children, also living in Mankato. We have four grandchildren. It's kind of hard to believe that leaving Robbinsdale, I ended up in Mankato to go to Mankato State, and I'm still here since 1966. Finally, what I started as I needed to move forward in life and for my family, I became a father. My oldest son graduated from St. Olaf and then a master's at Madison, Wisconsin. My daughter from Gustavus, and my youngest son from Rasmussen Business College. So they all had different educational backgrounds. I'm pleased that they're all Mankato, our family's there, and it's turned out to be a wonderful opportunity for us to raise our children. I've done many things over the years, but initially as I became involved in a career that I started was in real estate, and I became licensed in the state of Minnesota in 1972, and shortly later a broker, and have been licensed ever since. I started a company. I recognized a need to specialize and distinguish myself, so I began my career in commercial real estate. That was a good opportunity for me, and I quickly used some of the tools that I'd gained from the university or Mankato State College at that time and became very involved in development of new projects, construction, leasing, sales, management of buildings and properties. And the office of my company grew. And over several years, I've done many projects for clients, for myself, in the region. And it's just something that I would have not dreamt possible at the time I left Robbinsdale, and I'm very, very pleased to have had the opportunities in life that it's brought me. I'm glad to say that I started an exit strategy a few years ago and have been able to transfer majority of the ownership of my company to key individuals in my office, and it is still operating in Mankato successfully as the Fisher Group. I think we've had a very distinguished career. I've based it on a solid reputation, performance, and I think professionalism have all played a big role in what I've done over the years. I've had an opportunity to work with very large clients as well as individuals, and I've always enjoyed meeting their needs. I think my skills are very much focused on the challenges and creating solutions to the various situations I face. I think I'm very good at financially looking at ways to improve and create value. I understand risk. I've taken a lot of risk over the years, and fortunately, those have been, for the most part, all good ones. I enjoy enough success. I think that's a relative question. But to me, I'm very happy with my position, and now I'm able to focus on something else. The office runs itself. I go in maybe one day a week, other than working at my office at home. I've enjoyed working with our employees, our agents. I believe in empowering people. I feel good about leadership. I like to see people do the best that they can do. And I've always been there to help support that within our organization. And I'm pleased to have had a positive way of doing that in their lives and in my life. The kind of interests that I have are pretty varied, but I'm an FAA-certified instrument-rated multi-engine pilot. I have a plane I fly mainly for business, but that's kind of tapering off now. I recently was certified as a powered parachute pilot, so I can have some fun flying an ultralight around our beautiful valleys in the Mankato region. I'm a licensed steam engineer. That sounds goofy with the state of Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But I'm a hobbyist, and I have steam engines that I've restored and traction engines used in farming. And times I'll load it up in the big trailers and trucks and haul it down to a farm show and thrash oats. And I'm caught up with the nostalgia of our past and our heritage. And I'm pleased to be able to contribute because there's not a lot of, and I'm young when I go to these events. I'm one of the younger guys. Not many young fellas that mess around with that kind of stuff anymore. I'm a captain. I like boating and sailing. I live on a river and I'm able to snowmobile and cross-country ski. And so my life is full of activities. and I think I'm at a point right now where I need to look forward as to what I want to do. If I'm going to do something, it needs to be significant. If I'm going to give my time to something that has the type of commitment that this position has. And after researching and talking to different individuals and some past trustees, I feel good that this position will make me feel good about supporting MinSkew, helping it through its challenges, and something that I believe I can do. So those are my introductory remarks, and I look forward to your questions.
Thank you. The first question is, many of those who talk to us about particular needs for this class of trustees highlighted the fact that within the first year of this trustee's career on the MinSkew board, there will be a leadership succession, a leadership transition. And that includes, that's the Jim McCormick, the chancellor, will retire at the end of June in 2011. So the first question is, have you been on a board or involved with leadership successions, and what sort of principles have you described, maybe even referring to your own succession?
Well, let me first say I've met Chancellor McCormick in an opportunity to learn about his background. I've also talked with a number of the past trustees, and I really understand the significance of this decision. And I'm probably more financially orientated in making things work. And I think that this position is going to require, we're going to have to do a lot of things to make the future work for what MinSCU represents in our state and the 390,000 students that we provide for. I like finding solutions, and I'd like to find a person that has that same attitude that can help us weave our way through these challenges. I've served on many boards. I put some of them in my application. The ones that I thought were most pertinent were the Rasmussen College System Board. I served on that board for 5 years, which the system was the controlling entity of Rasmussen College. And I went through the process of accreditation with North Central. And so I went through the interview process with several of the different people that visited us from North Central. That was a very interesting experience, and I felt like we brought Rasmussen a long ways before the sale. I've been on the, I guess I just finished the Mankato State University Foundation board for 9 years. While on the foundation board, we've gone through a number of leadership changes, and it's been very critical to the success of the board, not having the type of leadership that it requires to have it succeed in its goals. And we've had some good ones, and we've had some that, frankly, haven't been so good. So I can employ some of that history that I've had, plus in my own firm, in making those decisions on people. I think my skills are very good on communications, motivations, looking at people and understanding what it is that they're trying to accomplish, but also in a positive way. And many times I've been on boards that aren't always positive. And to be on a board and in a positive way find solutions together as a board, I think it's makes the experience a whole lot better.
You mentioned in your answer, so I'll ask the second question. Some of the challenges that you think you'll be dealing with as a trustee for the MinSCU system over the next 5 or 6 years? What do you see as some of the major challenges?
Well, obviously the leadership is the first one, and it's coming up shortly. Funding and making those funds go a longer way to meet our needs is going to be another major issue. Looking at ways to find operational savings while maintaining whatever the goals are of the trustees and the board. I know it's very political to get into the number of campuses we have, but I like to look at things very open-mindedly initially, maybe a bit out of the box. I like to look at things that don't seem attainable, maybe don't seem practical, but get them on the table and talk through all the different things, and suddenly we might find a different path. And that's worked for me over the years. And I think we're going to have to walk some of those walks on the board in order to accomplish what it's got to accomplish.
Other questions? Tim?
Can you talk about your belief in the value of government investment in higher education? Compare that to K-12 education, social services, public safety, all the other competing priorities in the state.
I can relate to it personally, and I would be a little bit cautious answering that answer, not having been on the MinSCU board with the experiences that the trustees have had. My perception is that as important as K-12 is, it's going to be the time that the students go to the universities and colleges, and those at MinSCU, that they form their life plan, their strategies of what they're going to do. They grow up quickly. I think the environment that we provide them will have a huge impact on the outcome and success of keeping them in Minnesota, in our communities, and providing the needs of our employers. I'm not saying that K-12 isn't important, but I think the boards that serve the different schools in districts have their challenges, and they're going to have to do the same thing that we would have to do in MinSCU. State funding, I think if MinSCU can show our political leaders that we are being efficient, that we are being effective. I would hope that Minsky would achieve the greatest success and need for that type of funding. I know that, again, K-12 needs it as well. And if there's any superintendents in here, I'm probably in trouble. But I know how much it changed my life, and that was a long time ago, and I still remember it.
Nancy?
Can you please comment on your understanding of academic freedom in the Minsky system and on the campuses?
Well, I guess I'm not probably going to be very good at answering. I look at diversity. I'm not sure if you're speaking of diversity or if you're looking at choice for academics. I'm not sure if I'm going to answer this right. What I've learned is the importance of each university and campus to offer the programs that will have the greatest success and impact on the students, which results in the cutting of a lot of programs. I don't think that's where you're going. And so maybe you could help me a little bit understand your question more.
One of the issues on campuses is the diversity of opinions that are held, particularly in the classroom and the way things are presented, the textbooks that are chosen. So that kind of academic freedom.
Texas seems to be doing a pretty good job. I think that's been in the news lately. I think that my experience at Mankato State University, and knowing many of the faculty and the vice presidents and the deans over the years, has been a very open atmosphere of academic freedom. I think between diversity and the opportunity for diversification of opinions, is I would think at a higher institution is a critical component in learning. So I would be a supporter of academic freedom, but it's also important to blend that together in a reasonable manner with whatever constraints we have to do it as positively as possible, so hopefully people understand why things might have to be done differently. But it's that's what university is all about.
Thank you.
Earl? I got one question that has nothing to do with this, but then a second question that has something to do with higher education. First question is, what kind of plane do you fly?
For years, flew Piper planes. And 2.5 years ago, I purchased a plane made by a company called Diamond Air. Uh-huh. And they make a twin-engine diesel that runs on jet. And it's all composite, and it's got what's called a G1000 cockpit. And it is so much technology. And so all the years I've flown since the 70s, when I got into that plane, although I could fly it mechanically, I could not fly it intellectually. It was so far above anything. Technology's advanced so much. And it took me time to get comfortable, really comfortable with the plane. It's amazing. And you know, that does relate to higher education.
Yeah.
Because technology in our lives is everywhere. And what it's done for me in the plane has just kept my mind very current with the possibility.
I was an air traffic controller, so I guess I used to tell you guys where to go.
Yeah, you probably did.
All right, the next question. How would you... the students are having to pay more and more money for their education. How would you develop anything to stop them from having to spend so much?
Well, let me give you a current example, if I may. The aviation program at Mankato State University, Minnesota State University Mankato, is in risk of being cut. Mm-hmm. It's been publicized as being cut. I think some of the deans all but had it cut. It's a program that is one of a kind in Minsky. St. Cloud is more on the air traffic control side.
That's correct. I used to teach at Anoka Ramsey when they had air traffic control.
Okay. So I felt badly because I know how much aviation has meant to me in my career. It's advanced my career. It's made me regional. It's brought things to Mankato. It's done so many things. But I don't think that the average person understands the impacts of aviation. I met with President Davenport and discussed some of the thoughts I had, and I met with the FBO, and we are currently in a campaign to raise funds to try to create a three-year window to keep the program alive for 3 years and look for a permanent solution during that time to keep the program alive. Now, I'm telling you something that hasn't been done. Tim maybe doesn't know anything about it. I don't know. But I believe that we have a good chance of saving the program. And so how do we do it? We brought in some private partnerships to bring in some funding. And I think to date we've got about $600,000 or $700,000 that we've raised to apply towards the program. That is one way. Obviously, a lot of it's about money right now. Unfortunately, in econ, they don't have many folks out there that are going to supply funds to keep the econ program going. So they've cut a number of positions. And so those are challenges that are really, really hard for the university and the faculty and the students. But on the other side, I believe that we have to be very cautious and selective in what we do cut and do it in a way that creates more new opportunities elsewhere that outweigh it. So hopefully we will create public-private partnership on the aviation and keep that going. And then we will find a solution. We're working right now with a group from China. It's amazing, but China needs a lot of pilots, a lot of helicopter pilots. And they're looking at using the aviation program at Minnesota State University, Mankato, to train their pilots. We have a meeting set up with some of their top officials soon. Every program has to be analyzed and look for opportunities. In this case, I became involved, found some opportunities to try to keep it alive. Everyone's different.
Okay.
Zinette?
Yeah, obviously, Minnesota has changed since 1966. So I was wondering, how do you think Minuscu would educate the future workforce of Minnesota, especially, you know, the diverse population who are in schools currently?
You know, it's very interesting to look at the roles that our campuses play. I've always been a big believer of partnerships. I've been on the Business Advisory Council at the university for many years and have sought ways to create partnerships between industry and the university. And we've had a lot of success in that. I think creating the types of specific training programs that fit the needs of specific industry is a good thing if it's affordable. Not all of them are as feasible as others. I think our technical schools, do a lot that way already. But I think that there's a lot more room for improvement to grow specific problems with specific curriculums with specific industries. I think that's a way we can help get some private contributions that'll be more helpful in keeping these programs alive and helping the students get the training they need. I know our universities are not as active as some of the technical schools are. And it might be something that even our universities need to look more at.
Carolyn.
Yes, I don't fly, but I'm a member of the Dodo Tuskegee Airmen Club. My uncle's a Tuskegee Airman. And what I want to know is, what is your knowledge of STEM?
I don't have knowledge of STEM. I don't believe I have knowledge of STEM. Maybe if you tell
STEM
me
is an acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, which is the future workforce for Minnesota.
Okay.
And aviation and all the technology is part of that.
I have not had any discussions at the university and the boards or the College of Business about STEM. No one is interested. No one is really, none of the faculty or deans have discussed that. The aviation certainly is interested at Minnesota State University. The aviation is with Dr. Miller's college, which is focused more on, I mean, it's not in science at all. Like Dr. Fry was a very well-known dean of our science department. and I don't think we have our aviation program in the right department today. But no, I'm sorry. I probably would like to understand it. I probably would have some thoughts about it, but no one's discussed it with me.
You alluded to the I see you've served on two foundation boards. What role will philanthropy play going forward in the financial model of the campuses?
Well, having been on the Minnesota State Foundation Board for 9 years, we've probably outperformed the rest of the system with our success with donors, and especially some significant donors that are very generous and we've been fortunate to have. But the foundation has done a very good job with the board. Has been very active. And it's going to be more difficult and more challenging. And a lot of things will depend on where tax laws go. And that's going to have a big impact on it. My hope is that the government recognizes the importance of giving and how important that is in helping programs like MinSCU. I believe that it's critical for all the campuses, all the deans, to become more involved. And I know many of them don't particularly like to do it so much, but I think there's ways to do it where some are going to be more successful than others. And I think we should model that and find out the ones that are working and try to bring that throughout the system and get more campuses more involved in helping create those partnerships and create those giving opportunities. Again, we've done well down there. I'm not on the board today. I finished this summer. But it's and I think MinSCU created a foundation as well. And I'm not sure how that's working, but all of them need to work together. Great.
Sonia?
What unique skills or knowledge do you think that you have that you'll bring to the MinSCU board that will help carry the board through to the next level or the next decade? Something that maybe we don't have on our board right now that's unique about yourself that you would bring?
You know, I don't think I can address what you don't have on the board right now, or it probably wouldn't even be appropriate for me to think about or deal with that now. But my strengths that I believe would be most beneficial would be in the meetings, having a positive discussion, keeping on task and focus of what the real important issues are, and trying to bring and blend together differing opinions. I've been involved as a leader in many things in our community over the years, and I think being a leader recognizes the strengths of those around you and tries to bring them out in a way that benefits our whatever it is we're trying to do. I did mention, one of the questions was one of the more significant things I was involved in. I don't know if I had a chance to read that, but back in the 80s, Mankato was very concerned about what would happen in year 2000. And the mayor of both cities, Mankato North, Mankato, came to me and asked me if I would lead the effort of strategic planning between the two communities as the chair. Again, it was something that I thought was significant and important. I chose to do that. I became very involved. And you probably recall Act 2000 when it began, which actually followed the floods of the 50s in the original Act group. Act 2000 stood for Active Community Thought for year 2000. I like that acronym. We had over 1,000 volunteers from the community. We had ballrooms in the hotels full. We had brainstorming sessions that were very productive. And we had a great steering committee of leaders. And we created very positive energy from that. And it's continuing on today. It's still continuing in a different form, but we really were able to get it going. I think my skills are those communications and leadership. And I'm a solution finder. I love to find solutions. And I think that's one of the skills that's made me successful in what I do, is trying to find a solution where I have everybody happy at the end, and I've created value in the process. And that's not always easy, but there's a lot of ways to look at things. And so that probably is my greatest strength.
Yes, Tim?
Kurt, you have a great background with Mankato and the special and unique things that Mankato has. But from a Minsky perspective, it really is the 34 institutions of the system. How do you go about learning and getting to know the unique and special characteristics of those 34 or 33 other institutions? And then as you're looking at policy, crafting one in such a way so that it helps the whole system as opposed to a focus on a specific institution?
That's a great question. I recognize that. My focus has been, Mankato has affected my life. I can't believe all the opportunities I've had there. But Minsky, 390,000 students, $1.8 billion, is a whole different responsibility and has a huge impact on the whole state. And I recognize that. I would like to be informed. One of the ways to be informed would be if there was a group of trustees that would be willing to go under the permission of the chairman to tour some of the campuses that have unique needs and understand those before they come up for a discussion or final discussion at the board. It's hard to sit at the board and just look at minutes and look at documents and have mailings if you don't see the people and don't specifically understand the campus and a situation in order to try to find what might work best for them. There's a lot of places to go, but I would find it very helpful to be able to be and see it, be a part of those campuses, not just Mankato. But I also think I probably need the chairman's permission. I wouldn't be a loaded 10 to show up, but it would be nice to get some direction that way.
Marilyn?
What do you see as the significant workforce issues in this state, and how do you think the Minsky system could address them?
Well, I look at it two ways. Unemployment is a big concern, as it is most places. And I would look forward to getting our unemployment level down and the state healthier and more taxes coming in. And just basically getting our economy to work better again. Minsky plays a role in that. It can play a role in that by working with our employers, by bringing employers to Minnesota. There is, for example, in the science and engineering, again, I'm familiar with Mankato, but I'm sure in many of our institutions, there's special talents. There's innovations. There's new ideas that have possibilities. You know, if you go to the science and technology type fairs and these ideas are all coming out, we've talked at the foundation board about creating partnerships with some of the wonderful ideas that our students have and helping them develop it, patent it, and produce it. I think that there's many ways that we can build those kinds of relationships, which will be good for the students, good for entrepreneurialism, which is, I think, more important today than ever. I think we're learning that corporate America isn't going to be able to take care of us the way that maybe all of us have expected in the past. But our entrepreneurs are willing to take risks. They want to make it on their own, and they need help. So having the entrepreneurial centers, our business colleges, working with students, working with companies, to bring new companies here to foster some of the ideas of our students. I was on a committee in the foundation that selected recipients for grants. It was the grants committee for the foundation. I was amazed. The reading material I would get when the applications came in. The unbelievable talent and ideas that students had that were looking for scholarships to continue their education. And $500 or $1,000 meant a lot to the students. I sat at many dinners with parents that came in when their student was selected to receive a $1,000 presidential scholarship. The parents were excited. The student was excited. It built a good bond with the university. And I think that we need to explore more and more of the types of creative things that will help link those together. We need to put our state back to work, and we need to grow our employers and entrepreneurs.
Yes, Janet?
Yes. Your experience has been sitting on the Rasmussen Systems Board. Do you think going forward that the Rasmussens or the Minnesota School of Business, the Globes, do you feel that they're going to be in direct competition with our technical colleges?
I think Rasmussen has its own niche. First off, they're expensive. I'm not always sure I understand why students choose to go there, but they do. Mm-hmm. And my son was not a traditional student. And frankly, went and got his GED. He would not have been a good student at Minnesota State University. I don't think he would have thrived there. Rasmussen built him up, and he built these relationships that he had with the instructors. They asked him to come back and speak to the graduation classes. He got paid the last time. He was very surprised to get a check after he spoke to a graduation class. It lifted him in a way that I don't think we're going to do typically at Minsky. I see Rasmussen with a lot of married and children, families, or students that, as I was involved in the board, seemed to be focused on more non-traditional students than we might think. I recall that they had to carefully look at their success ratios when the student grants were being taken out and the type of ratio they were maintaining with the graduation class. They've grown a lot since I left the board. They were bought by a firm out of Chicago. I think the brothers that ran it originally and owned it they had a facility in Fargo and Eagan, St. Paul, and Mankato, on St. Cloud. And that was their niche. The group that bought the system out of Chicago now has campuses, they're expanding greatly in Wisconsin and in Florida and different states. And they probably moved it to a different level than I'm speaking of when I was on the board, because they have grown a lot.
Nancy?
Yeah, you've spoken a lot about the very serious concern of the elimination of programs at more than Mankato, at many institutions. Can you comment on, if you were on the Board of Trustees, would you have granted bonuses to the senior administration, the chancellor, and the presidents?
I know the president of Mankato, and he, as I recall, gave his bonus to a charitable organization, if I understand what he did. But he explained it to me quite differently than the way it sounded. So I'm hesitant to take a position on that, because I think there's more to it than the way it appeared in what I read in the newspaper. The facts given me were quite different than what was portrayed. So I'm not going to be able to give you a yes or no.
Well, that's very understandable. But, in terms of people don't understand Minsky to this day, because there's 32 different institutions, and people, the public, are confused. So I'm talking about, the public perception of something like that, when I heard Mankato was laying off 80 faculty.
I think that what you're describing is more a communications and issue in terms of how things are marketed at Minsky and explained to the public. My limited understanding of that particular issue was there were contracts
these were from former contracts that were already in place, and they were making good on those contracts. But I don't think the general public looked at it that way. It was like they were getting a bonus, which was voluntary, that was given to the administrators. Now, whether that formula for the bonus was a good one, I don't know. That could be the heart of that issue. But I really believe it's important to portray things to the public in a way so that they don't, and to the media, so that we're open and honest. I've had good success with projects I've done in other communities where there's been controversy involving the project by having an open relationship with the media and explaining things quite openly. And sometimes we're afraid to talk to the media, probably most times. But I believe that having an open, honest relationship with the media it can be a good thing.
Thank you.
Time for one last question. Sonia?
Sure. MinSCU has a commitment to increasing the diversity, not only in students, but in staff also. But yet, we see a lot of time, because of economic times with program cuts that are going on, the diversity programs are the first to go. What do you see? Can you comment on this? What do you see about what we could do about this?
It's challenge. The challenge to me would be to find programs that create success for the students. If the students are not succeeding, I think the program is at more risk. The question is, why are the students not succeeding? And I think there's varied answers on that. But my limited understanding of that, and we've had some controversy at our institution in Mankato relative to that recently, that's been quite controversial. And I believe there we had also some faculty issues that became involved in it too. So it's taking and helping the student first and lifting the student, like my young son, and helping them build success in their lives. And it's not always easy. And, you know, MinSCU may not always be the best place for everyone. And I think we'd have to try to understand what we can do to maximize opportunities for those individuals without, you know, hurting every other program at the university.
Okay, it's time for a parting comment, a concluding comment.
Okay, well, make it brief. Again, I appreciate being here. Thank you very much. When I was young, I had a lot of energy. And that energy seemed to push me through a lot of transactions that seemed to be never-ending. But I just stuck at it until I got through it and generally succeeded. What I found as I've gotten older is I'm wiser. And I get through the similar transactions, but a lot faster. A lot easier now. I think the important challenges facing MinSCU are going to require both. I believe that I can give both if I'm selected to be a trustee of the board. And I would look forward to using the various things and tools that I've acquired over the years of my career to help MinSCU move forward through its very challenging times economically and to help the students get the most out of their experience. Like I have. So I want to give back, and I think that this would be a good use of my time in doing so.
Great. Thank you.